Comedy veterans Steve Martin and Martin Short are teaming up again, this time in Hulu's new show, Only Murders in the Building. They're joined by actress Selena Gomez, and together they play nosy New Yorkers who live in the same building when, you guessed it, a homicide seems to appear. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans is our own crime investigator here. Hey, Eric.
Hey.
Okay, Only Murders in the Building. Steve Martin, Martin Short, some of us of a certain vintage know they've done a bunch of stuff in the past. Saturday Night Live, Three Amigos. I started to watch the start of episode one. Not so sure yet, but how do you think they do alongside Selena Gomez?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, they also have had a two-man show that they have done. And that kind of chemistry, I think, is what convinced them to create this fictional story. I'm with you. I'm not sure it all kind of adds up, but there are a lot of interesting moments. And Selena Gomez has some moments, too.
All right.
Basically, these are three separate folks, and they're all fans of the same crime podcast. So when a murder happens in their building, they all decide to join forces and use some of the techniques they learned from the podcast to try and figure out who the murderer was. So here we have a scene where the three of them are trying to figure out how to get to the crime scene. Let's check it out.
Did you see the ninth floor?
Yeah.
I could get us to the freight elevator just to take a peek, just to see what's happening.
Okay, but we should take it to 8.
Why?
They'll have cops posted on 9.
Ooh, you're good.
So, the thing that's odd here is that Selena Gomez is so much younger than these other two guys.
Yeah.
There's a dynamic there that's interesting, but she's automatically in a situation where those other two guys have more agency in the story because they're older, they're more experienced. And I understand that they want to appeal to younger viewers. But I think they should have just accepted that this would be something that might appeal to older audiences and give a seasoned actress who could really have agency in the story a shot in this role. So it's one of the things that kind of bugged me from the beginning when I watched it.
Yeah, well, I thought about it too as I was watching a little bit of it is I know these guys and what they were in. But, I mean, what is Hulu really trying to do? Is it really trying to capture middle-aged soccer dads? You know, is that the target demographic here? So that was one of my questions. Another one I want to put to you is the podcast thing, right? The show is about a crime and characters trying to solve it who are fans of a true crime podcast, a little meta here. Does it work?
I actually think that's one of the more effective elements of the show. One of the jokes of this series is that almost everything happens inside the building, right? So the murder happens inside the building. They're convinced that the murderer is someone who was inside the building. And they create this podcast that they pretty much do inside the building. We have a clip that sort of sums that up. Let's check it out.
Well, right now, the only thing that matters is that there's a killer on the loose. If we're right, then he could be living somewhere in our building.
Oh, that is a very good line. Badly delivered, but a good line. So do it again for me. And this is what I need. I want you to really hit killer. You know? Just killer.
There's a killer loose somewhere.
No need to scream.
That's too hard.
You know what I need you to do? Really punch somewhere.
Okay, there's a... Give me an action.
Action.
Killer on the loose somewhere.
That's like trying to make radio, right? Hit the word the right way.
Right. So there's a lot of little moments like that that are really interesting and fun. But I think ultimately the overall arc of the story is something that isn't as satisfying as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, okay. Let's go to an edgier topic, edgier star, with a bit of a warning of a not-so-nice word coming. Today brings the Showtime documentary Bitchin', The Sound and Fury of Rick James. That's the man behind the massive hit song Super Freak, 1981, goes into his rise as a black artist, his rivalry with Prince, and his descent into drugs, dysfunction, sexual assault allegations. Eric, what'd you think of it?
Well, you know, in between the rise of Parliament Funkadelic and Prince, Rick James was the black funk R&B artist who came forward. He flouted a lot of the conventions about R&B.
Yeah.
And in fact, we have a clip from the documentary where he talks about how his style gave him the freedom to talk about the things he wanted to talk about. Let's check it out.
To be able to finally have blacks write about whatever and be able to wear whatever. Because for so long, blacks have been stigmatized into this choreographed doo-wop, doo-wah, I love you. Ooh, you know.
And so what he's talking about is something interesting that actually started in the early 70s, where black artists felt hemmed in by the legacy of Motown, and along comes Parliament Funkadelic, and then later Rick James to say, we want to be more like rock and rollers, we want to be wilder, we want to talk about partying and using controlled substances and having sex the same way rock and rollers get to. And so I would dare to say if Rick James hadn't broken some of the boundaries that he had broken, it would have been much harder for somebody like Prince to come along. And you'll learn a lot about what Rick James achieved and also what led to his downfall by watching this documentary.
Mm. Eric Deggans, NPR's TV critic. Hey, Eric, good to be with you.
Always a pleasure.